I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
We are in a fifth generational conflict. For every lie they tell, we're gonna get in their face and yell two truths.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Christ is
It is
king.
My vision to take the next step to this, to go to the faith-based locales, and then move to private residence.
Desesperados por las inclemencias del tiempo y los retrasos.
Real concern about the situation developing near that dam controlled by Russian forces, which was blown up overnight. Communities along the vast Dnipro River in southern Ukraine already flooded, with concerns about a nuclear plant in that area.
Our current assessment is that there is no immediate risk to the safety of the plant.
Nobody in their right mind is going to suggest that she would be a better president than Biden, because 4 hours a day of Biden is better than 3 minutes of Kamala Harris.
You said that Trump poses a near existential threat to the rule of law.
Well, think about what 4 years of a retribution presidency might look like.
2024 is the final battle. If we don't take it over...
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. The destruction of the German war machine. The elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe. And security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, and battle hardened. He will fight savagely. Marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory.
The 6th of June, 2023, Anno Domini, compared to the 6th of June, 1944, on the shores of Western Europe. It's Pride Month here in the United States, but you know, when I was younger, when I was growing up, we didn't have Gay Pride Month. We didn't have the trans agenda. We didn't have the trans movement. We had June 6th. And every June 6th, I would go to my parents' calendar and I would write D-Day on it with a marker. Because this is the day. that the boys of the United States, the UK, Canada, the Allies, Polish forces, stormed those beaches, opened up the second front of World War II, and eventually led the path to victory. Look at how far we've come in just a few minutes before this show aired today. There was a ruling out of a court, federal court, down in Florida by a Bill Clinton-appointed judge. Here's what that ruling says. Gender identity is real. A federal judge has blocked the Florida transgender care law. Gender identity is real, wrote the judge, and any proponent of the challenged statute and rules should put up or shut up. This is actually what was written. Do you acknowledge that there are individuals with actual gender identities opposite their natal sex, or do you not? Dog whistles ought not be tolerated. There were no pride flags on Omaha Beach in 1944. There were national flags. This is why national pride must come first. If we are going to have a Pride Month, then it should be a Patriot Pride Month, a month about patriotism, a month to teach our children about the country, the republic that has been handed down to us, that has been fought for and bled for. Not a country that's evil, not a country that stands for oppression, but a country that tries to do the right thing and is willing to sacrifice when sacrifice is called for. And yet you've got so many kids today that are taught to hate their country. They're taught to be confused about their gender and sexual identity. Well, you know something? The boys in Normandy weren't confused about what a man is and what a woman is. The boys of Normandy had a little bit more to worry about. They had actual problems to worry about in the world. They weren't creating their own ones. They weren't creating division. But you want to hear something? And I'll say it right now. The forces opposing our republic and our way of life, they're not outside our shores today. They're not overseas. They're in our homes. They're in our schools. They're in the marketplace. They're in government. And that is why it is time for Americans, those who believe in the traditions of this country, those who believe in traditional morality, must take a stand and must rise up. We have to teach the truth about what the United States of America is and end all of the lies.
When I grew up in the hood, I rolled with bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
So here we are, D-Day, 79th anniversary, and I figured that since D-Day was the U.S. allies, the Americans, our British compatriots, were really the main thrust of the force, that I had to bring on my best British ally, and that, of course, is Mr. Raheem Kassam. Raheem, how goes it?
It goes. By the way, very cool intro. I like that.
All right. I really appreciate our illustrious president being able to put that together for us. It only took him about 16 takes, but we were able to get it together.
Yeah, it's a big day. It's a momentous day. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, the juxtaposition, right? When I was a kid, D-Day meant something in the U.S., and now it's Pride Month, Pride Month, Pride Month, Pride Month. And yet I feel like today's D-Day, this specific D-Day, is almost a response to everything else that's going on, because it's like, wait a minute, we used to be a country that actually stood for real morality, be a country that actually faced real problems, not made up our own problems and constantly ran psychological operations on our people. We were a country that had men who knew how to be men and women who knew how to be women, and there were no pride flags on Omaha Beach that day. Meanwhile, and I was just talking about, the news just broke a few minutes ago that down in Florida, a federal judge has ruled that gender identity is real and has struck down this DeSantis law on the banning transgender care for minors. And so it's amazing to me that here we sit in the West and we've gone two generations from the events of the hallowed events of Omaha Beach, the various beaches, Utah, Pwandaho, and now we're getting to the point where we have actual members of our government decrying that gender identity is real. And oh, by the way, you're not allowed to pass laws to block it.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose we'll come back to the point about the effortless series of wins that the governor is racking up down there. He's now starting to realize exactly what Donald Trump has been up against for so very long. The weaponization of government, in this sense, is something that is common and widespread now. And if it's not common and widespread in your life up front to you out there, ladies and gentlemen, you must understand this. It is happening all the time, especially here in Washington, D.C., obviously there in Florida. And it's coming. It's coming very quickly down the pipeline. And Jack, I agree with you. I mean, it's such a stark juxtaposition between this moment and 79 years ago that it feels not even like the same planet, right? A lot of those memories are now being lost to the passage of time. A lot of the education, I'll give you an example from my perspective. I'm pretty certain at my school when I was growing up, and I'm 36 years old, I'm pretty certain that we studied MLK at a public school in West London more than we studied the D-Day landings. And so just to put that in perspective to you, I was able to understand at the time that this was bad prioritization of education that was going on. Look at it now. I mean, I still don't think you guys talk enough in this country about homeschooling. You know, we don't talk about it at all. At least you guys have some people that do that. But I think this should be very, very mainstreamed at this point.
Well, you know, for us, and I'll say this as a product of Catholic education, going through the Catholic school system, this is why the Catholic school system was set up back in the late 1800s by Bishop, now St. John Newman, one of the first American saints, the only male American saint, because there was this idea that in public schools, that if you were Catholic, you were basically brushed aside, you were pushed back, your religion wasn't allowed. And so we set up this entirely separate branch of schools that would promote, number one, morality, but then number two, also adhere to all public school standards. For my entire life, ever since I was in that system, I've always said I would never consider sending my children to a government-backed school, to a public school. I've never considered it for once even from the time that I was a little kid. And someone even once said to me, I remember, they said, well, how would you define, I had a teacher or one of those guidance counselors, you know, when you're called in, say, well, how would you define success? And I actually wrote back to them. I said, I would define success as getting to the point where my kids wouldn't have to go to public school, because that's the only thing that I ever want to attain as a milestone in my life. That's the only thing that I worry about. Because now, that being said, we now live at a time where those schools, for many people, they're out of reach because our economy has gone down this globalist road that has become so gutted out, whether it's in the Midwest, the South, the deindustrialized North, the Rust Belt. So many people are losing out that opportunity. And then you see these videos coming out of schools today where they're not being taught, as to your point, they're not being taught about D-Day. They're not being taught about the sacrifices of the past. They're not being taught about, I mean, my goodness, like, when we go to London, we've gone to the Churchill War Rooms that are underneath, right? Underneath the road, under the ground. From Buckingham Palace all the way over to 10 Downing. And it's unbelievable to me that a country that went through so much like the UK wouldn't be explaining that history to every school child that's out there to explain what the country has gone through and faced up against. Last minute, Raheem Kassam.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because there is a sort of voluntary resurgence of interest in that period of time now, to the point where when I was a kid, and by the way, I lived across the street from the Churchill War Rooms when in my late 20s. You know, it was the Churchill War Rooms, the pub, and then my apartment. And you can imagine I did all of that very often. But there is this renewed interest in it from a voluntary perspective, so much so that they've had to redesign the whole thing, renovate the whole thing. And so that's a good thing. And I empathize entirely with the people who are priced out by this economy to educate your children at home. It's a terrible thing, I think, that we've let go of the past. And that's because they want us to be doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past. And what's the best way to repeat those mistakes is not to learn about it.
100%. Right. We're going to come back. I want to get into Raheem, talk about the latest in Ukraine. I want to get into the horse race. But if you ever have, I didn't think we were going to talk about this. If you ever have the opportunity to visit London, I know people say, oh, I want to go to the Tower. I want to go to the bridge. I want to go to the palace. Go to the Churchill War Rooms. It is one of the best museums on the face of the planet. You will not regret a single second of it. It's absolutely amazing to be able to walk through those rooms.
In my ear about the boring people at your office, I'm trying to listen to the new human events with Jack Posobiec.
And we're back with Raheem Kassam. Now, Raheem, you and I both visited Ukraine, and we're talking about war. We're talking about the war college, war history, but there's a war that's going on right now, the Russia-Ukrainian war, which NATO is certainly not involved in, except they're 100% involved in, because it is a proxy war between NATO and Ukraine. You were in Maidan Square during the revolution last summer. About a year ago today, I was walking through the streets of Mykolaiv, which is right next to Kherson province. That is the area where, waking up this morning, we found this news that a major hydroelectric dam has been burst. There's the main river of Ukraine is that Dnieper River, and severs essentially the country, bisects the country in half from north to south. And so as it stands at this point, the Russians basically in the south have one side, the Ukrainians have another. My brother and I just, you know, a couple kilometers away from where this dam was, that struck. And yet there's this insane videos that we've been seeing of obviously an ecological disaster, a humanitarian disaster, thousands of people who live on both sides of this river. And I don't think what people understand is that the Russians control one side, the Ukrainians control the other side. And yet here we are again, given the same set of facts, where the entire media, the entire mainstream is telling us Russia did this, Russia did this, it's a false flag, they did this to show their strength, et cetera, et cetera. The U.S. supposedly has intelligence that they're about to declassify on this. Should we still buy them after all the lies that we've been told about the Kremlin strike, the Nord Stream strike? Where, oh, by the way, there's other breaking from the Discord links from Jack Teixeira, who is a whistleblower, by the way, that put out that the United States government, particularly the CIA, had evidence that Ukraine was planning an attack on Nord Stream. Raheem, what's your take on this damn situation? This darn damn situation.
Yeah, this damn situation. Yeah, look, I agree with the sentiment. It's obviously going to imperil the lives of many thousands of people. This is a war. Those sorts of things happen. But unfortunately, I shouldn't even have to say, but what doesn't have to happen, but seems to be the case, not even from a you know, desperate national security perspective, once in a while sort of thing, but is commonplace routine and a daily occurrence now in the Western world, is that the government routinely lies and the media carries the water for them, pun intended, as they lie. And we saw that happen with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And you know, credit to the Washington Post, which doesn't always get credit from me, but they have run with these Discord leaks, and they have run the sources down pretty intensely. Now, the Washington Post story on this today, by the way, is about 1,600 words long. If you want the tight version of it, go to thenationalpulse.com. We have both summaried it and linked out to the Washington Post if you want to read the whole thing. And effectively, what we know now is that one of these European spy agencies was tipped off, and then tipped off in advance the CIA to the fact that there were these six divers who were planning to rent a yacht, dive down, blow up the pipeline and escape unnoticed or uncaptured. And that now, you know, 2 months after the Washington Post called Donald Trump, you know, irresponsible and silly or whatever they called him for suggesting that something like this could happen, it's now actually the front page of the Washington Post that is confirming that his suspicions were correct all along. So on this damn issue, you've got to, you know, bear that in mind. On the second part of it, you also have to bear in mind, we're back to the Washington Post again, that in December 29th of last year, the Washington Post actually reported that the Ukrainians conducted a test with a HIMARS launcher on one of the floodgates of the dam, making 3 holes in the metal to see if the Dnieper's water could be raised enough to stymie Russian crossings but not flood nearby villages. So, you know, there's smoke there, which would suggest that perhaps this wasn't as clean cut as CNN is going to tell you all across this evening's news. Keep an eye out for it, because I think a lot of people now in this country are increasingly skeptical of these rushes to judgment.
Well, I would also point out to folks that this HIMARS rocket system, that's a U.S.-supplied, U.S.-based ballistic, or, you know, at least the system, U.S.-constructed, manufactured missile system, ballistic missiles. At one point, we were being told the U.S. was actually providing targeting information to Ukraine for the HIMARS missile system. So I would certainly hope that if that was indeed what was used, that it wasn't the United States that were using it. But Raheem, and I want to talk about the horse race a little bit, if you can hang with us over the break, because to your point, we have a couple minutes here. The fact that President Trump has been so out in front on all of these international issues, it's remarkable to me, but it also really shows his leadership when it comes to an issue that could potentially be the crisis of our time. I don't think there's anything right now that threatens more so this peace and stability of our world into potentially spilling into a third world war than this proxy fight in Ukraine. President Trump, from the very start, has been speaking out against this, has been speaking truth to power. And I don't even remember for a second did he falter on the Nord Stream. In fact, when he was asked about that in his first interview, he laughed off the idea that the Russians would bomb their own pipeline. He thought it was ridiculous. And I think his business background actually plays a little bit to his acumen here, because he understands how much Russia fought for that pipeline.
Yeah. He is, you know, quite a geopolitical person at heart. I know the left likes to portray him as some stupid, you know, oaf who's, you know, charging around at NATO meetings and pushing people out of the way. And the reason he's doing that is because he's got the measure of these people and he knows how to deal with them. And that's clearly the same when it comes to matters of foreign policy. You know, you see how many people freak out when he tweets something or puts something up on Truth Social about North Korea. You know, this was the man who fearlessly walked in when everybody told him, you remember Obama told him, North Korea is going to be your biggest foreign policy issue.
With no security.
He just went over there and dealt with it. And you didn't hear a peep out of them during that time. I look at Trump and I look at geopolitics and I look at somebody who fundamentally understands the way the world works.
No, I think that's exactly right. Raheem, if you can hang with us, I do want to get into this next question about where we stand in the horse race. You know, there were people, by the way, running around saying, the North Koreans just locked up an entire family. I actually ran that down and fact-checked it. Turns out there was an incident that happened in 2009. We don't even have strong evidence of it. It was an accusation. It wasn't like something that had happened right after Trump left. I think a lot of people have focused on this neoconservative idea that North Korea must be scolded and chastised and attacked and demonized rather than what President Trump did and actually said, how can we find rapprochement? Can we sit down? Can we talk to them? Can we show them a little bit of respect? And wouldn't that be better for world peace? Remember, folks, peace is the prize. And we're back. Jack Posobiec here, Human Events. We got Raheem Kassam on. Now, Raheem, I want to get into the tale of the trail a little bit with you here, because we're looking at a lot of these dueling polls that are coming out. And it seems to me, and we had Richard Barris on yesterday, he said that he's seeing a spike in support for President Trump. National polls seem to have this. And I can look Morning Consult, Trump up 34. California has a new poll out, Trump up 29 there. And yet Interestingly, in Iowa, the DeSantis campaign is releasing a new quote-unquote internal poll that was conducted apparently by their own PAC, Never Back Down 24, which says that there has been a 14-point shift towards DeSantis in the state of Iowa. Obviously, no, Iowa is the first state to vote. It is the first caucus state. And they are saying that DeSantis is now within 10 points of President Trump in that state. What's going on here? Why are they releasing this poll out with such fanfare today?
I don't know. I haven't even seen their poll yet, Jack, so I couldn't even tell you the crosstabs, who actually conducted the poll, how many people were surveyed, what the margin of error is, you know, all those sorts of things that go into actually ascertaining whether or not a poll is reliable. And famously, you know, internal campaign polls are kind of the least reliable around. They can give you an idea of what the campaign is thinking, but they very rarely give you an accurate idea of what's actually going on the ground, because you can sway people certain ways by asking them questions in different ways, push polling, all sorts of things. I actually have my hands on some interesting data that just came into my inbox today, and it was from the Democracy Institute, and they have some top line numbers that I found quite interesting. We're actually writing up the story right now that will be on thenationalpulse.com very shortly. These numbers are not good for Ron DeSantis. They show Trump at 57%, DeSantis at 22% in a primary. And they ask kind of a lot of roundabout questions as well, kind of to get a looser sense, a more casual sense of people's approach to these men. So, for instance, preferred Memorial Weekend house guest, 41% said Donald Trump, 25% said Robert Kennedy, 19% said Joe Biden, 15% said Ron DeSantis. These numbers also have Trump beating DeSantis in a presidential matchup, but Biden beating DeSantis in a presidential matchup as well. In fact, all of the other Republican candidates lose to Biden in this scenario. So, you know, everybody can throw numbers around. I'd like to see the crosstabs. I'd like to go through the actual data and methodology.
Well, and you know what's interesting here? Accordingly. You know what's interesting here is the very same outlet, Axios, has gotten this scoop. And it's so interesting to me that we've seen this playbook again and again, where Axios gets a scoop on an internal DeSantis poll or DeSantis poll that's associated with the campaign, and yet they don't actually release the PDF. And people can say whatever they want about Richard Barris, but he releases all of his numbers, he releases his questions, he does everything completely transparently. Yet this relationship, I can only describe it this way, between Axios and the DeSantis camp seems to be something that happens every single time there is a week where it seems as though Trump is pulling away, and then suddenly one of these Axios specials comes out.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you do it. Most campaigns will pick reporters that they prefer, reporters that are friendly to them, and then leak them information with the hopes that they won't ask any further questions. And that's kind of the unspoken deal here. It also isn't surprising, given the fact that even the Rasmussen polls between February and this past week, show DeSantis losing by 2 points and Trump up by 13 points. And that is, you know, national Republican likely voters. Now, the 2 points that DeSantis loses are within the margin of error, which is 3 points. So you can say, okay, maybe he didn't move at all. But then you see on the other side of that Trump is up 13 points since February. And things, you have to bear this in mind as well. Trump is only ever going to continue dominating the headlines all around the country, you know, with this Jack Smith stuff, with all of the rest. He has free media. He has the ability to go on almost any television show, any television network, anything he wants, and lay all of this stuff out. And I just think, you know, even if you're a great governor, which DeSantis obviously is, you just don't have the juice to go up against, you know, what is effectively just a machine. It's a publicity machine. It's a machine of you know, policy. For instance, Trump comes out today with a massive, like, hey, here's how we're going to take down Big Pharma. And it's everywhere. So I just think Tallahassee don't have the juice for it.
We were going through this question. I asked the question to Richard Barris yesterday. I asked it to Libby Emmons. I've got you on. Haven't prepped this. You know, you can leak our text from earlier in the day. I didn't ask you this question. That we know that there has been this undercurrent of discussion at the donor level. Will Trump, when he's indicted, when Trump is indicted, I think we all kind of know that it looks like the Jack Smith indictment is coming. It looks like there's other potential federal indictments coming. The Insurrection Act, are they going to bring this one out? Are they going to roll an espionage, you know, charge on him, this type of thing? If he is indicted, does that in effect kill his support? Because apparently that's what people, strategists, have been telling the DeSantis team and DeSantis potential donors. They say, donate to DeSantis because we need someone to be waiting in the wings because Trump support is going to crater when he's indicted. Is that thesis correct or not?
Well, how can it be? It doesn't make any sense. Every time this happens, he goes up in the polls. Every time this happens, his support galvanizes. Not least to say the fact that it's completely disingenuous. And if that's what they're telling donors, and I was a donor, I'd be pissed. I mean, I would be so angry because that's a brazen lie. Here's how you know. Because if that were the case and Trump has to, you know, evacuate the race because he's indicted, you know, 4,000 times over and Jack Smith's coming for him and so on and so forth, then the DeSantis team doesn't need to worry about doing the fundraising on this side of it. The only reason they need to worry about doing the fundraising on this side of it is so that they can deploy 300, 400 million, whatever they're talking about now, against Donald Trump in order to try and stop him. They're working hand in hand with the opponents in the deep state at the moment, and they are expecting and hoping that the opponents in the deep state will try and take him out of the race. I don't know about you. I don't think that's a good look for a Republican governor and a Republican presidential candidate.
Raheem Kassam, 30 seconds. Where can people find you and follow the National Pulse?
Well, I expect people to come and find me at thenationalpulse.com. That is the bare minimum that we hope you will do. Come and read our stories, share them. And if you like them, join up as a member of thenationalpulse.com. It supports our work. We're not corporate backed. We're people supported by the people, for the people is what we always say. Thenationalpulse.com. Thanks, Jack.
Stay tuned. Human events coming back. Thanks, Raheem.
So proud of Sister Roma and her work in the community, and I'm proud of California for standing strong to support LGBTQ people as our community is under assault in the rest of the country.
Sister Roma went on to say it's an incredible honor to have been nominated. She says being recognized not only means a lot to her, but the LGBTQ community at large.
Well, we've got to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, don't we? So look at this, folks. We are now at a point in our country where we're honoring the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence in the state government level. We're then going to be, and I say we because we as a country, this is our society. We need to understand that. The LA Dodgers is going to be celebrating and awarding that very same hate group, and they are a hate group, against Catholics at the LA Dodgers ceremony coming up next week. And we've got a guy on, John Yep, the CEO of Catholics for Catholics, that's going to be leading a prayer rally against them. John, thank you for joining us here on Human Events.
It's great to be on the show, Jack, and appreciate you giving us some tweet cover there and promoting this event, because it's important that the nation knows about this. This is not just some Catholic issue. This is a prominent group out of San Francisco, which has been bold enough to insult and mock, which is the largest voter demographic in the nation. The Catholics, 23% of the country are Catholics. And it's a mockery. It's a blasphemy. It's something that you wouldn't even want your kids to watch, a show. I mean, the images on the screen you're seeing right now. I mean, who are these people? And more importantly, who is behind the invitation to make this happen? That's what we have to focus on, zero in. So they will be there on June 16th. At LA Dodger Stadium. Quick recap. I mean, they were invited back in May. We pushed back a little bit with Catholic Vote taking the lead, and then other groups joined. They pulled the invitation, and then surprise, surprise, the secular left pushed back, and now they're back on the docket, and they've refused to budge. So there you go, June 16th, which is kind of a dumb date to have it, because it's actually the Feast of the Sacred Heart, which is a feast that really just charges up Catholics, the day we honor our Lord, right? Savior Jesus Christ. So they will be there at the stadium, and we will be there too in prayerful procession.
John, I've got to get your take on where are we now as a country when we're in a place where this is going on at a major baseball game, a baseball game where I remember going to ball games. I grew up in Philly area, you know, going to Phillies games with my dad. That's what it was all about. You had hot dogs, you had popcorn, well, Cracker Jacks, and you know, the seventh inning stretch and the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem. Now you got it. The sister is a perpetual indulgence. But we've also got this breaking story out of Florida. A federal judge, and I know this just happens, you probably have a chance to read the actual case, but a federal judge ruling that gender identity is real, striking down the law that was passed by Governor DeSantis. And I guarantee you they're going to use rulings like this across the country, places like Tennessee, where they're already fighting the law there, other states that try to pass laws, striking down the law to ban sex change surgery for minors. This judge, appointed by the Clintons to get up there, how have we come this far as a country, and what does it say about where we are that they get laws like this, rulings like this, changed on the federal courts the same way they did with same-sex marriage, by the way, rather than through actual legislation?
Why have we come to this point? Because we've let them. You know, Jack, you understand this so well. Communists understand, they've always understood force. You have to meet them with the same amount of strength and determination, or they will keep pushing. And why have they gone after sports? You mentioned, like, you used to go to the Phillies game and just and enjoy that. They've targeted sports because sports has always been the place of unity. It's where people from all colors, walks of life can sit in the stands and cheer for the same team, right? I'm a Chicago Bears fan. It was the Hallis, George Hallis, good Catholic family who started that organization. They founded the NFL back in 1921. And their idea was unity, to bring people of all cultures together. So secular left, which thrives on the ability to divide and conquer, would naturally go after the sporting venue arena to divide us even more. And divide, you can control more. So, and then regarding the court case, absolute insanity. You know, if the guys who landed at, you know, Omaha and Utah Beach 79 years ago today knew that one day we would be fighting over a country about whether, you know, you could castrate young kids, they would have been out of their minds.
I mean, I'm John, I'm reading through. I've got the actual, we've got the documents. I'm going to see if we can actually show this maybe over the, after the break, we can get this up. I mean, this is, it is unhinged. saying that it's, you know, state employees or consultants suggesting treatment of transgender individuals is either a woke idea or profiteering by the pharmaceutical industry or doctors. And listen to this, any proponent of the challenge statute and rules should put up or shut up. That's a judge. A federal judge is putting that in a ruling saying, put up or shut up. Do you acknowledge that there are individuals, that this isn't a legal opinion, this is a political opinion. This is an extremely biased political opinion by a partisan judge accusing, dog whistling, accusing of everything else. Look, John, this is why we need organizations like CFC that are out there. Give us the information again about this prayer march, and God bless you guys for holding this, because we need public displays of Christianity again in this nation.
C4C.com, the rally, it's June 16th. There's a lot of other groups, and that's the message. This is not just a Catholic issue. We have non-Christians gathering. We have a Jewish rabbi just come into our aid to defend us. We're gathering together because, you know what? If it was the Protestants who were attacked, if it was the Jews, if it was the Muslims, we would be there and stand there right with them as well. That's what America's about. This attack on June 16th goes against our central tenets of our nation. So June 16th, if you can be there, great. We want to pack. We want to make this a Catholic Bud Light moment, if you will, by an overflow of support. And if you can't be there, you can support the billboard campaign where we have images of our Lord all over the city of L.A., just to remind people of what we truly stand for. So C4C.com, June 16th.
C-F-O-R-C.com. I'm looking at it right there. You can sign up. The Dodgers prayer procession around Dodger Stadium. Now, are you going to have horns like around the walls of Jericho? Do we know if the horns are going to be coming?
Oh, man, it's been talked about, Jack. You know, we'd have to march around seven times, right, for the thing to fall down. But
seven times, but yes, exactly. Incredible.
But, we're gonna break down the walls in a peaceful way. So it's, please show up and if you can.
We're going to punch through the spiritual walls. God bless you, John Yep. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for the prayer march, folks. I mean this. It is time for public displays of Christianity once again in America. That is what this country needs. Coming back, more Human Events Daily. Folks, I need to tell you that Human Events has partnered with, that's right, Patriot Mobile. Go to patriotmobile.com right now. If you're watching, pull out your phone, and then once you're done subscribing to Human Events, Podcast, Rumble, everywhere else, go to patriotmobile.com/poso. Why? Because Patriot Mobile is your number one Christian conservative wireless provider in America. This company will never go woke. They will never put money behind people who hate you, ideas, who hate you, your family, our traditions. Look, we're talking about the LA Dodgers. We're talking about this insane decision out of Florida, but totally predictable because we've seen Target, we've seen Bud Light, we've seen so many other ones. Patriot Mobile is a company that is going to put their money where their mouth is. They're going to pay it forward. They are Christians. They are conservatives. They give back to this movement. They support Human Events. They support the work that we do. And by the way, they give you nationwide coverage on all three major networks. They're a fantastic service. I urge you, go to patriotmobile.com/poso right now. Sign up for them. You will not regret it. Folks, this is exactly what we saw coming. I could have told you, I think we may have actually, producer Angelo, can you actually look up to see if we said this on the show back when these laws were first passed? Because this idea that they were going to get trans identity, that they were going to get trans for children passed in the United States, this shows exactly what the left has been doing for a generation, and conservatives have been asleep at the wheel, at least until President Trump got involved. Why? Because they know their ideas do not win at the ballot box. So what do? They push them through Hollywood. They push them through LA. That's why the LA Dodgers, the fact that Dodger Stadium right in Hollywood, do you understand how this is all combined? Supposedly the city of angels, right? That's why it is a confluence of the spiritual war that we are in right now for the soul of America. Do you understand what we're up against? Are you wearing the full armor? You need to be wearing the full armor. Just put it on. Put it on. They push it through media. They push it through Hollywood. Then they go to the big box stores. They go to Target. They go to Bud Light. They go wherever they can. And then they go for your kids in the schools. And finally, once they've gotten to the point where it reaches critical mass, the legal rulings start coming out. And these judges just magically find gender identity, transgender surgery, sex change surgery for children somewhere in our Constitution. Now, I've read our Constitution cover to cover. I've read the Federalist Papers. I don't think that the Founding Fathers brought up genital surgery for boys and girls during the Federalist and Anti-Federalist debates. Yeah, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I need to go back and double check. Call up the Claremont Institute. Maybe they can give us a fact check on that. Because this is what they did. They did the same thing with abortion. They did the same thing with same-sex marriage. And I am going to call that out because that's not the way our system is supposed to work. Remember, California was a state that voted against legalizing same-sex marriage. But then all of a sudden, along comes the Supreme Court and says, you know what? We've decided that it should be constitutional. And then boom. Nationwide ruling on social issues. This is what the left has done. They've weaponized the judiciary in this country by stacking it with left-wing activists. Let me go back to this decision. Let me go back to the words. Put up or shut up. Put up or shut up. That is a federal judge. Dog whistles ought not be tolerated. So the federal judge sitting down there in Florida with the robes on, ensconced in the judicial chambers, is telling you to put up or shut up. There's not a reference here to the Constitution. There's not a reference here to the Bill of Rights. No. None of that. It is this single
person's opinion. And you got to understand, that's where we're at now, folks. The religious right is owed a massive apology. The 80s and 90s church moms are owed a massive apology. Because our system only works for a moral people. Our system only works with a moral core of society. This is why they drove God out of the public square first. This is why they stripped our federal courthouses and our state courthouses of the Ten Commandments. This is why they pushed all of it aside. This is why New York City, where in the 1950s you could go up there on Good Friday and see the three crosses of Calvary Hill on the skyscrapers of New York City. Now the Empire State Building is lit up like a rainbow for Pride Month. Okay? Understand, this began in the 1960s. This revolution in American morality, it started with the sexual revolution. This revolution will not stop until they have completely terraformed and altered the status quo, the actual DNA of our country. Because why? That is what every revolutionary regime does. You think Joe Biden is the one in charge? You think the guy in the White House, the guy who can't even stand up with his oatmeal and his cream cabbage pouring down his lips, you think that's the guy who's actually in charge of this? You think Kamala Harris is the one in charge of it? No. The people pulling Biden's strings are the ones behind this. And you can see as they walk through every step of the way that this has been an agenda that was planned well in advance. Remember, this was a Clinton judge. Clinton, listen to this. It is fanciful to believe that all the medical associations who have endorsed gender-affirming care or have spoken out or joined an amicus brief supporting the plaintiffs in this legislation have so readily sold their patients down the river. The great weight of medical authority supports these truths. I'm sorry, medical authority? Is medical authority in the Constitution? Are medical associations in the Constitution? Is that part of our government now, or are the people? No. You have federal judges, you have legislatures, you have a federal legislature, the United States Congress, that has completely abrogated their powers in our system of checks and balances to the expert class, to the administrative state, to the permanent state. This is the administrative state up in your grill. They ain't that deep anymore. They ain't that deep anymore because they're front and center. They're front and center, and they're telling you who's in charge of this country. And it ain't you. It ain't you. It ain't your families. It's the same people that say you smell like Walmart. Folks, subscribe to Human Events on Podcast. Subscribe on Rumble. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore. Remember Normandy.